Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty. And a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you need a landing page, a professional blog, an online store, whatever your next move might be in 2017, tackle it with Squarespace. Start your free trial today. Build a website for free at squarespace.com and use the offer code CanadaLand to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, make your next move. Sandy Garasino.
Yes.
Associate editor with the National Observer, joining me from Vancouver. We're going to talk today about Kevin O'Leary getting into the Conservative leadership race. We're going to talk about your Premier, Christy Clark, making her international debut in the New York Times. And we'll be talking about Justin Trudeau's bad week. Welcome to Canada Land Shortcuts.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. Boy, this sounds like it's going to be fun.
This episode of Canada Land Shortcuts is brought to you by Patrick Richard, Stephanie Ryan, Dadiv Harder, Bryn Ossington, Lewis Bennett, Srinivas Murthy, Michael, and Sachin Hingu. Sachin, why did you decide to be awesome?
Because I think if we can learn anything from 2016, it's that we need a strong and accountable media more than ever.
This episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. Sandy, it's January, it's a whole new year. Many people out there, I don't know if you're one of them, have been kind of thinking about launching a project or finally getting their act together to put their portfolio website up or get a website for their business. I don't know. Have you ever had to build a website?
Yes, I have.
Then you will know the frustrations that go along with this. It's a pain to build one from scratch. And if you hire even a wonderful person, well, then you're beholden to them forever. You're married. And anytime anything goes wrong, you have to hope that person can like get back to you immediately because you don't want your website to be down or not working for even a day. All of this is solved if you use Squarespace. Squarespace will help you get your next move together, whatever it might be. You just go ahead and plug your information to their beautifully pre-designed templates. It updates automatically. You never have to patch or install anything. And they have 24/7 support. All of their support is in-house. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. Use the offer code CanadaLand. You'll get 10% off of your first purchase. Squarespace, make your next move. Make your next website. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand.
This is it, everybody. I'm about to go onto that set and announce that I'm going to join the leadership race of the Conservative Party. I'm so excited. It's time. I'm jumping into the race right now. I'm really excited because the potential of this country is absolutely immense. It's just really mismanaged. Are you ready? Let's do it.
I'm confused. If Kevin O'Leary is running for conservative leader, who will defeat Superman?
Well, what can you say about this? I mean, nothing would make Kevin O'Leary a candidate in any other environment except the existence of Donald Trump, who has already, before he's even been inaugurated, been an international disaster, and everybody can see it. So I don't know where this is all going to go.
I think he said in the past, oh, there's too many people in the race. I'm not going to join when there's... So he joins now. There's 14 people running for leader. And so what's the timing about? Well, it's the day after the French debate.
Of course, because the man cannot speak French. He's just disqualified. It's just that simple. But you know, he's going to try and he's going to get lots of PR. I mean, he's good at self-promotion. You know, Kevin O'Leary's best product is Kevin O'Leary. I don't know what kind of profile he has in Quebec. Do you know?
I don't think that he has much to speak of. And I guess common wisdom has been you simply are a non-starter. You cannot lead a national party in this country with any hope of governing if you don't speak French. He said he's going to try to learn. I think maybe he thinks he can spin that's part of his image, and it's this whole challenging those conventional wisdoms and saying, well, you know, these people, they don't care that I don't speak their language. They know that I'm the right guy. I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see that messaging.
I guess so. But I think that the problems of Quebec for a politician, particularly a conservative politician, go a lot deeper than just being francophone. I mean, Quebec right now is very, very sensitized to the whole pipeline issue, and Kevin O'Leary has gone whole hog in Alberta, attacking Rachel Notley on the carbon tax and on emissions cap and that sort of thing. So he has, as many conservatives have, and this is going to be a bit of a Waterloo for them, I think, in Quebec, fully sided with the very conservative approach that Jason Kenney has in Alberta. Now translate that to Quebec. Well, in Quebec, Stephen Harper got 17% of the vote. Quebecers have a long memory, and the conservatives under Harper were reviled through two elections. And what Trudeau was able to do was to really crack that. He was able to put his own father's legacy in the rearview mirror and present a whole new personality in that province. So he broke open the bloc's dominance and stranglehold on Quebec. They have 78 seats. I just don't think this is as simple as, well, he's not a francophone. It's more than that. I think that there's real possibility that he would revive Quebec nationalism. We could see a constitutional crisis reopen should he become a really significant figure. And I think this is true actually of a lot of conservatives who have really strongly aligned themselves with the most conservative elements in Alberta.
I think he'll just deal with that when he has to. I mean, I think you're absolutely right that if you think about this too long and hard, it just seems like it could never happen. And
that's what we thought about Trump too.
Right. So you're right that that we're going to just make not a meal, but like a month long feast out of this. We in the media, it's hard not to, whether you go with ridicule or you do the diligence and you just start to vet a candidate as you would any other. I just did some like basic clicking around and found a quote from one contested episode of the Lang and O'Leary exchange. This is Kevin O'Leary speaking back then, and they seem to have taken the video off, not through any nefarious, just because CBC is terrible with archiving. This is what he said. Elect me as prime minister, I will make unions illegal. Anybody who remains a union member will be thrown in jail. And I think they've already been getting their counter message together. Oh, that was a character he played on TV. This is the real Kevin O'Leary. I can see already, like, I want to learn something from what happened in the States. I think that this is exactly what they're into, is that, you know, let's dig up everything we can on this guy, and then they can come back with whether it was just a joke or whether we're clutching our pearls and oh, you know, that one's serious. So, yeah, he means it. And meanwhile, it's Kevin O'Leary all the time. You will be seeing that name a lot in the press. And I think he just is a very cynical and savvy opportunist who will play, you know, these situations as they come up. And, you know, you cross one hurdle and you might have to say some atrocious things, and then you change entirely in order to seem acceptable for the next one. So I don't laugh this off. I think that if you look at like this gallery of non-charismatics that the conservatives have lined up, this guy's, he's got a good shot.
That's one of the consequences of having a really wide field, and that Trump really benefited from that, and it may benefit O'Leary. I'm interested in what his purpose is, and I kind of think that his purpose may have been the same as Trump's originally was, which was to build the Trump brand, and O'Leary probably wants to build his brand. I hope that listeners might go to our profile of him that Bruce Livesey did on the disaster that he was for the Mattel company. He almost took down Mattel, if you can believe that. Their joint venture, or their takeover of the Learning Company through Kevin O'Leary, ended up costing them billions of dollars, forced the ouster of the CEO, and made it described as one of the worst deals of all time. It nearly took down the company. So, you know, maybe Canadians should look at this, and conservatives should look at this too. My prediction is that Trump is going to very shortly show himself to be such a catastrophe in making the transition from business failure to political leader that O'Leary was going to lose credibility by the hour.
I read Bruce Livesey's work, terrific work on Kevin O'Leary years ago in the Globe and Mail, and then again in the National Observer, where he essentially proves that Kevin O'Leary is not a genius businessman. He just plays one on TV. Mm-hmm. But if the suggestion is that the masses of Canadians who have been fooled by this guy's image to learn that he, in fact, is not a business genius would disqualify him from, taking public office by storm, again, we have an example to the contrary.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's the same.
It's the same thing. And what's hilarious and kind of sad, actually, is how easy it is for guys in sharp suits to pass themselves off as great businessmen and ergo business or great leaders. I also think that O'Leary's, it's hard for me to even imagine that this is going to go anywhere because, you know, Donald Trump can name his own cabinet out of his list of personal friends or anybody who owes him favors or that he owes favors to. But the conservative leader, should this person be elected prime minister, has to choose their cabinet out of the elected MPs. And I just don't see this guy uniting the country or uniting the party, being able to lead this party. You get the picture.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know people who, I mean, the guy's in show business, and I know people who worked with him on reality shows and said, you know, he very much is playing this mean, Mr. Mean. Maybe he might even be, unlike Trump, not that guy 24/7. Mm-hmm. And people who worked with him said, you know what, when they stopped shooting, he just like, it's a job. Everyone was just there to do their job, and he would be fairly pleasant to deal with. He was the first guy in Canada to figure out, if you just sort of look the part and say ridiculous things, it makes for kind of, you know, more interesting than just the usual boring stuff. And it propelled him to just being like incredibly present for year after year on Canadian TV. Mm-hmm. Who took him seriously? I mean, maybe it's the entertainment value we'll hold here.
What does it take for BC to get a mention in the New York Times? When reporter Dan Levin was here, he heard about Christy Clark's annual stipend, where her premier's salary gets topped up every year by $50,000 in political money from her party.
This was in developing world country. It would just be written off as corruption. But here, because it's not illegal, it seems to just get a pass.
So, Sandy?
Yes?
The fact that Christy Clark gets this crazy $50,000 top-up from her party is old news here in Canada, but the New York Times reported on it, and now the fact that the New York Times reported on it is news in Canada.
Well, I guess the news is that it's the news. Does anybody in Toronto pay attention to BC?
You know what? I will admit that I had this vague, hazy sense of like, oh yeah, corruption, money, BC, Christy Clark. And it took the New York Times, and I don't imagine that it's for lack of other journalists doing just as good a job, but they do tend to do a really good overview. I was pretty shocked to learn that the ethics commissioner, whose job it was to determine whether or not there was any impropriety, and who found that there was no impropriety, has a son who is a minister in Christy Clark's administration and is himself a donor to her party.
Welcome to British Columbia politics. Yes, our conflict of interest commissioner is the father of a deputy minister in Christy
Wow.
Clark's government. So we know how to do things here.
That's pretty good. I can't believe that somehow missed my attention. That does seem like Banana Republic level corruption.
Yeah. And the weirdness is that most observers here in British Columbia pretty much expect that she is going to win the next election. And the reason that they think that is not because Christy Clark is tremendously popular. I mean, going into the last election, she was famously incredibly unpopular, but she is an extremely good campaigner. She is very, very good at working a room. She is great at raising money. I mean, we reported in our sister publication, the Vancouver Observer, in 2015, that she was able to get more Alberta oil and gas money than the Alberta Conservatives. So out of Alberta, she went to the Petroleum Club in Calgary, did fundraisers there with Alberta billionaires, getting Alberta oil and gas money, you know, and then she pretends to be, you know, well, we really care about the BC coastline and pipeline issues, but, you know, a huge, huge amount of her war chest comes from oil and gas.
I was going to say that this idea that she's a great campaigner, it sounds like she's got the money to be a great campaigner.
The last election, all she did was put on a hard hat and wear a construction vest and go around, smile around the province and say jobs, jobs, jobs. And that worked. I think it will again, very largely because she has astutely fanned support of the BC Green Party, which is eating the lunch of the NDP. So her opposition is being split, classic split the opposition and go up the middle, and it'll be very interesting to see if she can be stopped this time.
I was surprised by a lot of this. I didn't know that there is basically no rules prohibiting campaign donations of any kind, be it from foreign businesses, be it from companies like Imperial Metals, and I'm quoting the Times piece again, the owner of a mine tailings pond that spilled billions of gallons of toxic debris in 2014 and was then permitted to operate an even larger mine. Imperial Metals did not respond to a request for comment. So, I mean, if you tell people, oh, politician, you know, conflict of interest, hints of corruption, money in politics, I think people glaze over because they suspect that that's happening anyhow. Mm-hmm. You're not telling them anything they didn't know. Mm-hmm. It's the effect, it's the impact of those conflicts. It's the fact that a massively polluting company like Imperial Metals can line the pockets and then get permission to go ahead and operate an even larger mine.
Well, exactly. And one of the things that magnifies this effect, Jesse, in BC is that we are not a big head office province. I mean, Vancouver doesn't even get onto the top list of number of corporate head offices per capita in the country. There's a reason Toronto will pay attention to Calgary and not Vancouver, and that's because of the financial power and the corporate concentration there. So when you're looking at all of these corporate donations, I mean, these are from people across Canada, companies across Canada, but it's, I mean, the number of people in BC is very small. You could almost fit them in a room. The access to power is incredibly magnified because she knows perfectly well who gave what and how much they gave. And they're very good friends.
So if Toronto doesn't pay attention to Vancouver and Christy Clark can basically operate in a sense, because Vancouver is never going to vote conservative, and the vote on the left is split, does the Times coverage embarrass anyone into any kind of alarm? Or, I mean, you could draw comparisons here to Ontario. Like, you know, it doesn't seem like you can govern us badly enough for us to get rid of our provincial government here. Is it the same situation where there's just like there's nothing that they can do that won't get them out of office?
You cannot embarrass us into voting rationally.
All right, Sandy. Now is the time on Shortcuts where we take a moment to duly note some things that we would like to have duly noted. Can you begin?
Well, one thing that really interests me is Trudeau's appointment of Chrystia Freeland, her promotion to foreign minister, I think is a huge shot across the bow and signal to the Russians that we're taking things very, very seriously.
There's some context there. Can you explain that to our listeners?
The context being that Freeland herself, on her maternal grandparents, were from Ukraine. Her mother, I believe, was born in a Ukrainian refugee camp after the Russians invaded Ukraine. Of course, we know that there's a lot of saber rattling in Eastern Europe right now. Russia is making everybody there very, very nervous. And, of course, we all know of the apparent conflict. You know, Russia's been fingered as having interfered in the U.S. election. So for Trudeau to appoint someone who is very clearly going to be counter to Russia's interests, and, in fact, Freeland herself has been on a no-go list. She's been blocked entry to Russia. So I think this is a very significant signal and a bold move, and in an interesting one for Trudeau, whose public persona is it's a little bit on the doughy, flexible, nice guy, you know, sweet meter. But this move, I think, is very much in the opposite direction.
Duly noted. I would like to note that there's been a milestone. I've been wondering for months now, what media organization would be the first to sort of legitimize what you see popping up in the comments ever since the scandal broke out? You know, in the midst of everything else we learned, there was always somebody saying, I don't care what he did. I liked him on the radio. Bring back Gian Gomeshi. And I've been wondering who would be the first to actually publish that, you know, like in a real newspaper. And I can't say I'm terribly surprised that it's the National Post. Nor can I express much surprise as to who actually said it. It was Conrad Black, but there was still something in there. There's still something in there that they gave me a little bit of a surprise. I'll read you the quote from Conrad Black's most recent column. Really just barfed out everything that would make the country better in one column. in the view of Conrad Black. And he wrote, "Bring back the acquitted John Gomeshi and the unoffending Evan Solomon and Amanda Lang, and get rid of the idiots who persecuted them."
This is a guy who thinks Donald Trump is really great, too. So this is perfect, you know?
Totally. And you know, Conrad Black has a dog in the fight of vindicating people who have been persecuted unfairly, in his view. I think that everything he says is just about Conrad Black. But Sandy, get rid of the idiots who persecuted them? Did Lord Black just put out a hit on me? How am I to be gotten rid of? I guess me and Kevin Donovan and Sean Craig, who wrote about Amanda Lang for us. What does one do to get rid of us?
Canada Land will get rid of you in due course. What can you say? I mean, this is Conrad Black, who is, by the way, what the hell is he even doing here? I thought he was done with Canada, but I guess that we're the only country that'll have him now. When he raises his head above the parapet in media circles in any other country, he's laughed out of town.
You know what? I have always enjoyed him immensely, as disgusting as many of the things he says are, and as much of a cartoon character as he is, he's just sort of like, you kind of can't believe this guy actually exists. And the few occasions where I'd see him in person at something, he just looked like this big pampered baby, mm-hmm. who had this like kind of, this sort of glowing, this the ego, yeah. like there's something magnetic about how silly he was. I spotted him at a restaurant a few months ago with Barbara, and I don't know, they just looked smaller than I remember.
Mm. And the thing about Conrad Black as well is that, you know, he has really benefited himself from the kind of meekness of Canadian discourse, don't you think? I mean, we have a very hard time confronting bluster, and he just had it. And the other thing that Canadians have about Conrad Black is that, you know, anybody who's got a bigger thesaurus than they do just intimidates them, and it's almost like he's got it on Rolodex. Oh, I'll pull out this big word, and everybody will shut up.
You know, well put. You know, the meekness of Canadian discourse made him an outlier, and he was terrifically entertaining. You know, for a long time,
and he is entertaining. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. In person, this is a raconteur of really phenomenal skill. He's a great storyteller, and he is an entertaining figure, but he's not a serious thinker.
No, or a serious presence. And I think that the one big gesture being the National Post, like what is this guy about when you add it all up at the end of it? I guess it's not over yet, but maybe it's curtains for me. Maybe I'm the one who'll be gotten rid of first.
Duly noted.
All right, Justin Trudeau is on a big national tour. He will not be in the United States for the inauguration. And so he's just been, you know, meeting with the people and having folly after folly. I'm going to play you one thing that came up in a town hall where he was talking about his compassion and empathy and understanding of the immigrant experience in Canada.
You know, I'm a 10th or 11th generation Canadian on one of my sides. But my maternal grandfather was born in Scotland, so I do have some idea of the challenges it takes to come to Canada and has took over the sweep of history of Canada.
So there's one. He gets the immigrant experience because his maternal grandfather was born in Scotland. Then there was this delicious little selfie video. I'll play you the audio, but it doesn't really do it justice because you got to see the thing for it to make sense. But these two young women ask JT for a selfie, and this is what that sounded like.
Thank you. Hi, can we also get a selfie?
For sure. For sure to see you guys. Hey there.
Are you planning on implementing EDGE?
Absolutely, yes.
Does that mean requiring consent for natural resource projects?
Absolutely. We need to engage with a broad range of voices, and as we've seen, the Indigenous communities have positions on both sides of just about every different project.
The visuals add another layer to that. I think the audio, he actually handles the question pretty well, and if you couldn't hear it, they ask him for a selfie, and as he's grinning and some, I think so, like a ritual that he must perform 1,000 times a day, they drop a pretty tough question. Are you going to implement UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People? He answered it pretty quickly, but there's a moment where this look of profound panic crosses his face and he just gets out of the frame. And it's amazing. And really, this should be standard operating procedure. Like, if you want to ask Trudeau a tough question, just ask for a selfie and then mid-selfie ask the question. He remembered his policy on it. He's like, yes, we're going to implement it. But of course, then they follow up, and they had a follow up, and it was a tough one. Does that mean that Indigenous people in Canada are going to have a veto if it's a nation-to-nation relationship? And he says, sure, but of course, on any major issue, you know, Indigenous communities are divided. So we'll just decide which side of the divide best suits our agenda and, you know, kind of divide these communities more against each other by picking our favorite.
Absolutely. And we will really agreeably agree with everybody and then do what we want. Yes.
Yes. And it again actually brings up something that came up through the Joseph Boyden thing, which is like, who actually represents Indigenous people in this country? If, of course, like any people, there's more than one opinion if you ask, you know, whether something is okay or not. And if you just can basically choose your leader as to who's going to represent, you know, that question seems to be a very live one in this era of reconciliation. But it just kept happening to Trudeau. There was some question about racism, and his answer involved putting Viola Desmond on the $10 bill. Then there was, of course, something a bit more serious than just a flub that just makes you question the judgment. And I don't really care where Trudeau goes on vacation. I think it's kind of cool that he's friends with the Aga Khan. But there's just like an explicit rule about not taking like private jets and private helicopter rides. And he took a private helicopter ride to this island. And it just looks like, I guess I'm kind of wondering how you get around what looks like a pretty basic violation of a law.
And I guess we'll see, because there's going to be the whole ethics inquiry into it. It's an interesting one, because I think Trudeau should and unquestionably follow all the guidelines. It is an interesting one because the Aga Khan is kind of not like the other billionaires in the sense that, you know, he doesn't really have business interests here in Canada. And I mean, what people are kind of focusing on is that, well, he's a philanthropist who gives millions and millions of dollars around the world, and Canada joins in some of those projects. So it's a funny one. I really look forward to the ethics inquiry on this one. And obviously, I mean, should go without saying, the Prime Minister should follow the rules. It's very simple.
It feels like a lot of these debates are about casting stones and then having them turn into boomerangs that come back at you. And who has the high ground? And if you seem like you're like trying to spin a crazy conspiracy theory about the corruption of the Aga Khan or the influence, then that's going to hurt you more than... But like, no one needs to actually connect those dots. I think that this is not a story about corruption.
No.
It just sounds like it's a story about entitlement and arrogance, if anything, like, and judgment. I'm just wondering, like, didn't you know that? And did you think that no one would know that? Or wasn't there anyone around you to advise you about? Like, couldn't you have not done that?
There are these strange ways that Justin Trudeau, you know, I think the Canadian public has a picture of Justin Trudeau. And then it's like every once in a while, the mirror slips and we see inside that there's a whole other world. Like, oh yeah, I go on holidays to the Aga Khan's private island. Every once in a while, we see something else. And, you know, this quote about my maternal grandfather being an immigrant. Well, I mean, just so that people know, Justin Trudeau's maternal grandfather was a cabinet minister, James Sinclair. He lived and represented the British properties in West Vancouver. Actually have restrictive covenants still on land title that say that Asians cannot buy them. Now, those are not recognized by the courts, but actually, if you buy a house on the British properties today, your title deed will say that you cannot sell that property to an Asian.
And that is the establishment that his grandfather represented. He didn't come over here huddled on a boat playing the fiddle. This is not the immigrant experience.
That's how much he understands the immigrant experience.
You know? Look, this guy had a crazy life. He was just like, you know, nuzzling with Fidel Castro as a baby and like the whole drama with his mom. And I mean, grew up in Ottawa. Like, it's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own unique story. But the idea that this is somebody that had an experience remotely like anyone else or can relate to the immigrant experience, the common person experience, that there wouldn't be weird, you know, entitlements in your vision of the world. You know, and we're seeing a mixture of that very strange upbringing and also just some of the original stuff was just like, is this guy polished? Is he ready? I mean, he's gone through a pretty rigorous regimen, I think, to inure him against some of these flubs, mm-hmm. but there's only so much you can polish it up, you know?
Well, at the same time, you know, one of the things I keep coming back to those debate performances during the election, and this is a guy who works extremely hard. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you don't really understand the immigrant experience, but actually look at how he performed during the election, and especially those touches immediately after the election when he was so welcoming, open to minority figures in public. Don't underestimate this guy. It has always led to failure.
I don't want there to be any confusion. I'm not suggesting that he isn't a big sweetie pie.
And I'm not super, super defending him either. I just, everybody always thinks that they've really got it on Justin Trudeau. And that has not really panned out.
Does this man contain magnitudes? Are there like limitless depths to him? Or is it one of these things where like, if there ain't much there, you can guess for like, you know, wow.
Is this
the complicated character?
Deep down, he's really shallow? I don't know.
Sandy, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That was your Canada Land Shortcuts. I do hope you enjoyed it. You can email me about it anytime you like, and I can be reached at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read everything you send me, and I respond when I can. We are on Twitter, @CanadaLand. Sandy, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, @Garosino, Garossino. And follow me on the National Observer.
Our website is canadalandshow.com. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/CanadaLand. If you live in Saskatoon and you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday, I will be doing a live taping of Canada Land at 8 p.m. at the Cosmo Senior Center as part of the Winteruption Festival. We'll be talking about the killing of Colton Bushy. This show is produced by Katie Jensen. Canada Land is syndicated by Russell Gregg. If you like what we do, please support us. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.